Blessed are you. Amen. I invite you in this moment to find stillness, to enter into quietness, and to pray with me. Come into the place where God listens, where you need no money, no status, no fine clothes. Come as you are, broken, whole, sick, well, satisfied, or with deep need. Come to sing, come to cry, come to hear, come to see. Come and be ready or be made ready. We are here. God is here. Amen.
Amen.
When I was newly ordained a priest, I was working at the Cathedral of All Souls and living in West Asheville, and I had a vision. That vision came from everyday lived experience where I served in a place of relative wealth and privilege, and I yet lived in a place, West Asheville, that was rapidly gentrifying, where public spaces where all are welcomed and had access to hospitality and belonging were all but disappearing, where the poor and hungry and those that were weeping were excluded from every open door, from every safe place, from any sense of belonging to the place where they were trying to live. In my vision, alongside the coffee shops and bars and expensive, trendy stores, and yes, of course, tattoo shops, I imagined a place where rather than money and goods and services, relationship was the valued currency. I imagined a place where you could come and get a free cup of coffee, a place where even if you had no place to lay your head at night, you could gather during open hours and be known and loved and belong. I imagined a place where those with money and those without money had the same access and were loved the same, where we could be in deep conversation with each other, where we could be in relationship. Blessed are the poor. This vision came to me when I was traveling with youth from All Souls in Cuba. While in Cuba, we stayed in a church that had a center for pilgrims and for locals called Kairos in Matanzas. There, the locals gathered and prayed, did art, and held church services. And while doing various activities, they discussed their common community. They advocated for each other's needs. They built relationships of mutual aid and interdependence. I was so inspired that when I came home, the vision for a similar center in West Asheville consumed my mind and my heart day and night. Blessed are the hungry. I shared my vision with our bishop at the time, Porter Taylor, and with the National Church Domestic and Foreign Ministry team, and with locals in West Asheville, nonprofits and community members. I was given the opportunity to apply for funding from the National Church, and I wrote a grant and turned it in within 16 hours. It moved quickly. The energy was expansive and caught on within the diocese, within the cathedral, and within the National Church. And our bishop, together with the National Church, said yes. And so within 3 months following our trip to Cuba, I had a grant for $45,000 and a lease for a building right on Haywood Road, smack dab in the middle of the busy, gentrifying West Asheville. Blessed are those that weep. We called the place, the vision, Kairos West. Kairos means God's time. Time that is not restricted by what you see on your clock or on your phone or your calendar, but God's time, abundant time, time in which everything you need to make decisions and to accomplish crucial action is abundantly present. Jackie Combs, a deacon in the church, and I and several community members gathered and we laid out a mission statement and a purpose for Kairos West. We said this: Kairos West Community Center is a sacred space in a secular world, accessible to all, set apart for community building, for the empowerment of emerging leadership through art, liturgy, and social service. We seek, we said, to provide a space for radical hospitality. Blessed are you when people exclude you. Kairos West Community Center opened our doors in the summer of 2013. We had within our space a coffee maker, a few chairs, a couch, a laptop computer, some art supplies, and a large table soccer game, because why not? I will never forget that first day. I was alone in the building right on Haywood Road with the doors open, sitting on the couch with my laptop returning emails. Suddenly, the thought occurred to me, what am I doing here? My heart started pounding, and for the first time, it occurred to me that I might fail. That this new ministry, this vision, might be a total failure. As that thought crashed down on me, I began to spiral into some deep anxiety. And right then, a young man walked through the open doors. He looked at me and he said, "What do you do here?" And I replied, "I have no idea." "What do you want to do here?" And he laughed and I said, "No, I'm serious. What would you do if you had free space and support to begin any good work you wanted to do?" He sat down and he told me his story. He talked about growing up in West Asheville and how poverty and racism had led him into a life where he said he was now king of nowhere. He then took a piece of paper and he wrote a poem. He got a clip from our art basket and he hung the poem on the wall. And then he left. I never saw him again. But within 3 months, that wall was full of other people's poetry and art and stories, full of dozens of people's prayers on the wall at Kairos West that had been birthed by the King of Nowhere. Within 3 months, Kairos West was hosting over 15 different ministries that had begun from those stories we listened deeply to, and from simply asking people, what good thing would you do if you had free space and support? And from trusting God and trusting the vision. Out of Kairos came dozens of successful ministries to God's people, many of them still thriving today. Blessed are you. Jesus came down and stood on a level place. and a great crowd gathered around him and were healed. Blessed are those that trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. Trust is easily defined as having firm belief in someone or something. Having trust in our world can be difficult. Trust can be elusive. Can we trust the data of science, the information in the media? Can we trust the actions of our leaders or the intentions of our loved ones? Can we be firmly rooted in any of those beliefs? This question matters because without trust, we are like chaff which the wind blows away. Right before this section of our gospel in Luke, Jesus has been tested in the wilderness and then challenged in the synagogue. And those that witnessed him cure a man on the Sabbath watched and wondered what they should do to him. The stirrings had begun. Now that they see Jesus's power, now that he is uprooting all they have put their trust into, law and authority. And so Jesus goes away to the mountaintop to pray. And in his prayer, he discerns his next steps in his ministry, which is to call together his disciples. He gathers them on the mountaintop, and then they go down the mountain and stand on a level place, a place accessible to all, and they begin to teach. Jesus begins his teaching to the crowd by subverting the notion of who is blessed, by undermining the typical understanding of who is worthy of love and belonging. Blessed are you when people hate you, for that is what they did to the prophets before you. By any secular measure possible, the people who often came into Kairos West for free food or fellowship or prayer or yoga were not blessed people. They often slept outside, they were often poor, and the growing community of business owners and shoppers definitely were less than friendly to most of the people who entered Kairos West. And yet, those same people came every day to volunteer, to hand out free food, to hand out free coffee, to pray with people, to keep our doors open, to organize and set the direction of our center, every one of them a blessing. Unlike Matthew, Luke follows up the Beatitudes with a set of woes, warnings to those that are rich, those that are well-fed, those that laugh. They, Luke says, have already received their comfort and their reward. Kairos West was full of people, not only people who may have been deemed as needy, but all types of people, people of privileged economic status, people with many material items, people with large homes, expensive cars, disposable cash. They came in too. They washed dishes, handed out free food, prayed with people, and challenged the city by providing us free legal help when they attempted to shut us down. That story is for another sermon. But they came because they needed to be there. They often told us that what they did there at Kairos brought them more joy and fulfillment than did their day job or their money. We often heard stories from people about the reward they found in being with those that gathered at Kairos West. They came because they knew they were in need of deep connection and joy. They came because being rich and well-fed and laughing wasn't enough anymore. Blessed are you. This is the point of Luke's list of woes. Woe to you who just don't know that being rich and well-fed isn't enough. Woe to you who are satisfied with your earthly comforts. Woe to you who long for nothing more than your own personal satisfaction. Jeremiah the prophet speaks to us today. Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. Trusting in our visions can be hard. Who are we to have visions? Perhaps we think visions are only for prophets. But Jesus begins his ministry by teaching who is truly blessed, by subverting the notion that money and earthly comfort is what it means to be blessed. And in that, he subverts, turns upside down, the notion that being blessed is only for a few. Blessings come out of deep need, and so do visions. The visions of the prophets of old and new come from seeing clearly the needs in the world and speaking up about them and taking crucial action. Visions are a blessing that can come only from seeing clearly. So, Grace, what visions do you have these days? What deep needs do you see clearly that lead you to dream dreams and have visions? And Grace, what can we do to help you trust in your visions and in the God who blessed you with them? This is our greatest work as church, to help equip the saints with the trust in a God who blesses you with gifts and talents to share and with visions that will lead to the blessing of others. When we live in a place of trust, not in mere mortals or flesh, but in God's abundant time, when we trust that we too are blessed to have visions, blessed to build the kingdom, when we live and trust that God is guiding us in the work, that God is here too, when we trust that we have everything we need to take crucial action, then every moment is a Kairos moment, and every one of us is blessed. Blessed are you when you are a blessing to others. Amen.